This is Financial Standard, the definitive source of news, thought leadership and analysis for Australian wealth management professionals. Financial Standard, take the lead.
Hi, welcome to the Financial Standard podcast. My name's Matthew Wai, and I'm a journalist at the Financial Standard team. At a time where the equity markets remain volatile, a lot of investors are turning to other asset classes to diversify their portfolio, and fixed income is gaining a lot of traction. In light of this, I would like to welcome our guest today, Adam Whiteley, Head of Global Credit at Insight Investment, to discuss why he sees active management, which has been sluggish in the stock market, will thrive in the fixed income sector. Welcome, Adam.
Thanks for having me.
So let's get right into it. Why do you think active managers are thriving in fixed income compared to the slump in equities?
Well, you're absolutely right in that there's a preconception that active management doesn't work in investing generally, but it really stems from the equity market, where the median manager or the average manager does struggle to outperform. Whereas in fixed income, the empirical evidence very much suggests otherwise. The median manager does outperform. And a lot of that comes down to there being a lot more inefficiency within fixed income markets. And that in itself is because of a much bigger opportunity set that investors can take advantage on. If you're within the equity space, you have one decision whether you want to own a particular company. That's, do I own it or do I not? In fixed income, if I want to gain exposure to that same company, I can buy different maturity instruments from that issuer. I can buy different currencies in which they borrow. I can buy different subordination types. Many, many different ways for us to gain the exposure. And that creates a lot more relative value opportunities for us to try and take advantage of.
When you talk about outperformance, how is the asset class actually outperforming the benchmark?
So we're looking to outperform the asset class that our investors have asked us to take exposure to. So in a broader asset allocation sense, fixed income often provides a lot of diversification. Broadly speaking, when equity markets would be struggling, you would expect your bond or your fixed income allocations to be doing well. We need to think about the way that fixed income behaves in that prices move inversely with yields, or when interest rates are going down, actually the value of your investments and the prices of your investments in fixed income typically go up. So that's the baseline for fixed income as an asset class. It tends to give you that diversification role. But then for an active manager, we're trying to add value over and above what the asset class is giving us. And a median manager will typically produce maybe 0.5 to 1% of additional return per annum over and above the asset class itself.
When you mentioned about the inefficiencies, what exactly are these inefficiencies?
So some of it starts with market structure, in the way that the equity market is traded and people actually undertake their buying and selling is all on a exchange. There's a very easily available set of data for which people can make their analysis as to whether they want to buy and sell. Within fixed income, things happen slightly differently. It's a so-called over-the-counter market where the information flow is a little bit more different to get your hands on. It's all there, but you just have to go about it in a slightly less efficient manner. And that in itself creates an inefficiency and opportunity for active managers to take advantage of. Then we need to think about that opportunity set that I referenced a little earlier. Many more different decision types, and with a much bigger set of data that you need to analyze, it means that there are opportunities that maybe investors just haven't been as aware of that we can try and take advantage of.
When it comes to the outperformance, are inefficiencies the only thing that's boosting the performance?
So inefficiencies is certainly one element for success, but actually for active management as a whole, the key ingredient for success is volatility, because volatility brings opportunity. And this is why the current environment is particularly interesting from what active style approach, because we live in a world, as you highlighted at the beginning, that has a lot of volatility because of the uncertainty on the economics, on the policy, and on the political path.
There are also studies showcasing individual investors are leveraging technology. How do you think this would affect active managers?
Technology undoubtedly will change the way that we undertake our everyday lives, and undoubtedly it'll change the way that investing takes place. The way that I like to think about technology is through two different lenses, the first of which is efficiency, and the second of which is edge. So on the efficiency side, is can technology do a task for us that may currently be quite labor-intensive? And can you have a technology-based solution that's more automated for you? And then on the edge side, it's providing you with an extra set of eyes and ears that a human maybe couldn't undertake But technology absolutely can. And technology doesn't miss things. It doesn't make mistakes. What we absolutely need to ensure, though, is that we're using the technology in a controlled way, in a way where we're aware of the risks and that we're staying true to our fundamental investment process, because that's the thing that an investor wants to be getting into to understand, do we have a repeatable way of adding value over and above the asset class returns?
Absolutely. So do you think technology would ultimately replace active managers for individual investors?
I'd struggle to see it replacing active managers, but you can certainly see how technology evolves the way that active managers operate. There is already a style of investing that is more quantitative in nature, or you might call it a systematic strategy. You know, that has quite a deep technology core, but the technology needs training. It needs someone to be telling it what to do. So in that respect, you're not going to see humans step away from investing and within active management, but maybe their role slightly evolves.
When it comes to the reverse role, passive investment, how do you think that will go in the future?
Well, that's certainly an area where technology can play a role, and it will do already. I don't manage any passive strategy, so I can't tell you the ins and outs of how they do it, but certainly they will be using technology to try and deliver their objective, and a passive strategy's objective is simply to give me the asset class returns. It's not looking to achieve any returns over and above the asset class. But that in itself creates some problems, because I mentioned earlier the very vast fixed income opportunity set, lots of different decisions for us to make. A passive strategy can't replicate the 20,000 different corporate bonds that we have in the universe. It uses a sampling approach. And a sampling approach means that it introduces some so-called tracking error, or that's a little bit of volatility or deviation between what they're doing and the asset class. And that potentially can create a little bit of a drag for investor performance.
In our current economy, how do you think the interest rate would affect the fixed income market?
So fixed income is very sensitive to interest rate expectations. Interest rate expectations start with what do investors expect the central banks to be doing? A central bank will be looking at growth, they'll be looking at inflation and the combination of those two. In the current world, growth we would expect as a central case to be positive, albeit slightly below its long-run trend or long-run average. Inflation, we would expect to be coming back down towards central bank targets, having spent an extended period of time above it. But the path on inflation for here is maybe a bit more bumpy, particularly because of the concern around some of the tariff policies emanating from the US. That combination, though, should allow central banks to continue cutting interest rates. And when central banks are cutting interest rates, they're trying to either remove an element of so-called restrictive policy from the economy. What that really means is they're actually trying to slow things down and actually trying to get inflation back under control. But the current level is one where they're not trying to outright stimulate the economy. So we wouldn't expect them to be getting interest rates down to a very low level that maybe we saw prior to COVID. Sorry, we wouldn't expect them to get down to a level that we saw prior to the 2022 experience. But what that will mean is that if investors are expecting central banks to cut their policy rates, which is your overnight rate that you would be paying maybe on your loans or what you'll be receiving on your savings, then further out the bond curve, you would expect investors to be lowering their interest expectations too.
And finally, I want to talk about private markets. How does active management work in the private markets? Is it like more thriveable, or how does it work?
So within private markets, the fundamental analysis is the same as within the public markets. The difference is that there aren't any indices for which you can construct to say, I'm trying to just deliver you the asset class return. So all private debt market exposures will be actively managed, but they're not looking to take the same types of decisions as we would to add incremental value. It's more about, I find a business that I want to lend to. I'm prepared to advance a certain amount of money, and then I'm hoping that I'm going to get my maturity back at the scheduled date with some interest along the way.
Would you say it's a bit riskier to invest in the private markets?
It's a different type of risk. Yeah, there are undoubtedly some very capable managers within that space, but what we do know is that it's an asset class that's grown substantially over the last decade. And that has a number of different implications. The first of which is that it's taking lending away from the public fixed income channels, as well as actually the banking channel. The second of which is that it's actually giving borrowers, companies, more flexibility. But the third of which is that when you've got an awful lot of money chasing one particular asset type, that can often compress the potential returns.
Those are all the questions I have for you today, Becky.
Great. Thanks very much.
Thanks for listening to this Financial Standard podcast. For more information, visit financialstandard.com.au. Please keep in mind that the information discussed in this podcast is general in nature and does not consider personal circumstances. Reliance should not be placed on any content without further independent financial research and advice.